now for Monday's headlines. First up on the agenda, welcome to the Fed, Janet Yellen, new head of the Federal Reserve, sworn in earlier. Baptism through hellfire today, and what will her biggest challenges be? Let's take it to our panel, Charles Payne, Liz McDonald, and Matt Welch, contributor on the new Fox Business show, The Independent. And Matt, start us off. What do you think is going to be the hardest thing that Ms. Yellen faces?
I think she's going to be the most politicized Fed chief since Paul Volcker. If you think about it, Democrats don't really have a lot of power in the rest of Obama's term, so there's going to be a lot of pressure to use this marvelous power that the Federal Reserve has accumulated. Republicans, meanwhile, have gotten a whole anti-Federal Reserve politics enshrined in their own kind of documents at the Republican National Committee level. And so there's going to be pressure on her this year with tapering and in the long term with just the where politics are going for her to be more responsive to the political process. So that's going to
be
a challenge.
It's interesting you take it to that, because I know that a lot of the write-ups recently have been the fact that she's a woman at the helm and one of the most powerful positions in the world. Is that going to play a big part, do you think, Liz?
I'm not sure. You know, I think what her big issue is tiny bubbles. Mm-hmm. It's not inflation. Inflation really isn't coming down full bore, according to the Fed's own preferred, you know, gauge for that. Will the Fed get hit in the head with its own boomerang, you know, on inflation because of the money printing? Not happening just yet. It really is about bubbles. It's really what Bernanke said it is about, that they're not going to raise rates, because that's like applying a hammer to a thumbtack. It's really about the first, second, and third levels of defense that the Fed can use. Macro policy, supervision, okay, regulation, and forward guidance. Now, hang on, Dennis, because that's what's key here, because it's a Fed jawboning is what you're going to see going forward.
Okay, Charles, we're below 15.5 on the Dow. Is that going to affect Janet Yellen? Do you see any possibility that the Fed would ever throttle back on the pullback?
Well, the Fed doesn't like to be pushed around by Wall Street and the markets. And we've seen that tug of war go on for a long time. I think more disturbing at the Federal Reserve is the economic data that's come out in the last week. Listen, Ben Bernanke took a victory lap. He more or less said, I did my job. We've got an inflection in the economy. Now we can begin to taper off the accommodation. That puts us squarely in Janet Yellen's court. You talk about her biggest challenge. Does she just accept this baton from Bernanke, or does she say, okay, I want to reset? But if you do reset, what you're saying is that the economy hasn't turned a corner, and how problematic would that be, not just for the markets, but in politics as well? What would that mean to the administration?
But should the weight of the world really be on the Fed's shoulders, or should the Fed be looking more at what's happening in Washington?
I'm glad you said that. Listen, Ben Bernanke was so vocal, particularly toward the end, about fiscal policy. It was amazing how often he spoke out about that being the main headwind against their own policies.
We're seeing a market that is naturally reacting when the Fed steps back. We've seen it react like this in 2010 and 2011 when those levels of QE stopped, QE1, QE2. This is what happens when the Fed retraces and comes back out of the market, and it's the natural forces at work right now in the market.
But do we think this is honestly the beginning of the end, or do we think this is just a consolidation and regrouping? Matt Welch, what do you say?
Who knows? I mean, we're chasing bubbles right now, right? So if this has been a bubble up till now,
There's a whole new thing on the Fed's plate right now that we weren't talking about a few weeks ago, and that is the spiraling of many world currencies and the emerging market story, Charles. And I think that's going to play a huge role. While the Fed might have been concerned about fiscal policy coming out of Washington before, now they're dealing with the emerging market scenario.
And yet someone pointed out to me that the Fed's most recent statement did not mention at all the currency nervousness and the jitters, a sign that the Fed isn't.
I mean, listen, if they could juggle all these balls, we put them in the Cirque, right? the Cirque du Soleil. I mean, they already have a dual mandate. Mm-hmm. Then on top of that, the mandate with Bernanke was housing. Now I understand that Yellen is really more focused on employment.
It's inflation, joblessness, and the third mandate is asset reflation.
Okay.
Things to keep in mind is the markets went up double-digit even when there was a currency crisis in 97, 98. There was a severe double-digit correction, but the markets were still up 25%.
Flashes in a pan.
We're moving on to our second topic, guys.
Let's go.
Ready.
We're pausing for a sauce, aren't we? Feel after the Super Bowl, a scene from that 1993 film Groundhog Day, where Bill Murray was forced to relive the same day over and over again. And as we approach another debt ceiling deadline this Friday, is Congress guilty of the same? Charles.
Matt, speak of, he brought up politics. I think Jack Lew's comments, watching the market open under pressure this morning and then sort of lobbing it out there, that, hey, I don't have any gimmicks. There's nothing I can do. We're going to get into this debt ceiling thing, and there's nothing I can do. I can't stretch it. We can't play around. It's squarely in Congress's lap. I think it was a public relations great move on their part,
but it's
hurting the market.
I think investors tune out the noise. This is another costume drama of the debt fight. You know, so the issue is, do investors pay attention, or is this just more of the same? Or is this really the way we should be doing budgeting in this country?
Well,
bring it to the 11th hour.
But I think investors do pay attention to the debt ceiling.
I was going to say
the debt ceiling, yeah, but to the debt fighting leading up to it, I don't know. I don't think so.
Isn't that already showing up, though, Liz, in the form of the VIX? Today it popped above 20 for the first time since October. We're seeing a lot of sort of similar reaction in the market than last
day. When you see the long bond dropping down, that means the world is in a deflationary mode. That's what I like, is the yield on the long bond. They're not expecting growth. So, you know, this day-to-day fight, yeah, maybe day-to-day.
But the Republicans are not spoiling for a fight here. They just had a retreat, or they're in the middle of a retreat. They don't really have any cards to play here, even though the debt ceiling and raising it or not raising it has been one of their most popular and effective issues over the last 3 or 4 years. They have squandered it by shutting down the government over Obamacare last fall.
What bothers me is the comments I hear out of Obama officials. I can't think about, if you were to take it to the private business world, of a business would say, you know, we've got some debt negotiations coming up, and I'm a little worried, and I'm not sure what's going to happen. No company would ever say that. Why should government officials be stirring doubt like that with Jack Lew kind of raising these kind of warnings?
They shouldn't be stirring doubt, but that's also their negotiating tactic, is to portray Republicans as dangerous monsters that you should never negotiate with under any circumstances. Republicans dutifully play their part on the other side, and that way Obama hopes to not actually have to cut anything out
Lizzie,
of spending.
Don't even we in the media know, as we stoke these fires, we know the government will not default. They will work this out.
Yeah, absolutely,
they always
Dennis,
will.
You're absolutely right. And we've seen that time again. That's why I call it a costume drama, a debt fight. But, you know, I'll tell you something. Look at what McKinsey just said. This is startling. This is why we're never going to see interest rates go up again in a very long time. We've saved, here in the U.S. and the European Union, $1.6 trillion since 07 on interest costs on the debt. $1.6 trillion. That's why the Federal Reserve is going to hang back and not raise rates for a
kind
long time.
Kind of a conspiracy.
Yeah.
Okay, we're moving on to the Broncos, taking a shellacking from the Seahawks in Super Bowl last night. Now, this was Peyton's last chance, or was it, at a Super Bowl trophy? Will he retire a loser or take another run at it? Sandra, what do you say?
He's always going to be a winner. I mean, he's been a spectacular quarterback for quite some time. And I will tell you, I'm going to pat myself on the back, because before that game started last night, he didn't look good. He didn't look confident. In fact, he looked a little bit ill. He was sweating. He looked stressed.
Like a timid greyhound at the start of a race.
Does anyone remember? Then the camera was on him when the flyover happened, and he watched it. It was almost symbolic of him looking at, like, enjoying possibly his last Super Bowl. I'll leave it at that.
So, but you're not predicting.
All right.
Is he going to retire, Lizzie?
I don't think he does. Listen, he is a guy, by the way, he underwent neck surgery that was so dangerous, and his arm's starting to weaken. And I've undergone neck surgery, too. I still have bone spurs in my neck. I know what happens when your arms weaken. Boy, to come back from that and to be a quarterback like he was and he played, we've seen comeback stories. Joe Namath, John Riggins, Larry Zonka in the past. I think he comes back.
Say he retires.
I don't think he'll retire, but he's an old man playing a young man's game with a broken neck, essentially. So it's going to be really hard to get back.
The reason you don't retire is because they're going to pay me millions of dollars for just one more season. Why not? This guy earns $12 million a year in endorsements, and I think he is so likable and so good that his endorsement contracts continue even if he retires.
Charles, with Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan, they have ways of making a lot of money for almost forever, but I really think he wants one more Super Bowl win to cement the legacy as the best ever. Mm. It's hard to make that argument with just one victory when your little brother has two. And I really believe it's all about, not necessarily ego, but cementing that greatness.
Sibling rivalry. Yeah. It's what made us great. Sibling rivalry, right. So I am the only one here who thinks he's going to retire.
No, I don't think so.
None of you guys think he is.
Try to get a bite of
Why do you think he's going to retire?
Because you know what? He's done it all, and it's just so much work, and it's just such a long slog. And to get there and have this happen is just so devastating. And you think, come September or come August, I got to start all over again.
Man,
I can make $12 million by not getting hit and breaking my neck.
And then he just had the best season ever by an NFL quarterback. So if you're going to retire, you do it.
Yeah, maybe leave with that.
It can't be ever if you don't walk away with the ring.
It was the Broncos' defense that blew that game.
I mean,
Broncos need to learn how to tackle, okay? If they learn how to tackle, maybe Peyton can come back. All right, nicely done, guys.
Sure.
Thank you, Charles Payne, Liz McDonald, and Matt Welch.
Thanks, guys.